Okay, let's unpack this. You know that feeling when you open your inbox or you look at your company's Slack and you just feel heavy, like physically heavy?
Oh, absolutely. It's the weight of, I should read this, but I definitely won't.
Exactly. We talk about information overload all the time, right?
Yeah.
It's a defining condition of the modern workplace.
For sure.
But I was digging into our source material for this deep dive, and there's a really compelling argument that for businesses, the problem isn't that they have too much information. It's that they have a production bottleneck.
That's a key distinction. If you look at most enterprise companies, I mean, especially the ones that have been around for a while, they are sitting on a gold mine of data. They have the expertise, they have the documentation.
But it's all trapped.
It's all trapped. It's stuck in boring PDFs, dry spreadsheets, and, internal wikis that nobody's has looked at since 2015.
It's the read-only trap.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what we are unpacking today.
Yeah.
We're going to look at a hypothetical case study involving a real-world giant, Pharonix. And we're going to see what happens when you plug their massive library of technical content into a new industrial engine called the Auto Content API.
This is going to be fun because Pharonix is like the perfect candidate for this experiment. They aren't some flashy new startup. They are the infrastructure.
They really are. I mean, if you've ever used a computer in a university library or a school lab, you've probably used their software without even knowing it.
Right.
They're headquartered in Vancouver, been around since 96. They have something like 30,000 customers across 150 countries.
A huge footprint. And their flagship product, Deep Freeze, is just legendary in IT circles.
Reboot to restore. I remember the IT guys at my college loving this. A student could just completely mess up a
Oh,
computer,
yeah. Download viruses, delete system files.
change the background to something inappropriate, and the admin just hits restart, boom, the machine wakes up in its original perfect state.
It's basically magic for them. But Pharonix has grown way beyond just that one trick. They have Pharonix Deploy for imaging, Insight for classroom management. It's a whole suite.
A very complex technical portfolio, which means they have a mountain, maybe a mountain range of technical documentation. And that brings us to the other side of our equation today, the Auto Content API. Now, I have to be honest, when I first saw the name, I rolled my eyes a little bit. Auto Content. Sounds like another one of those spammy ChatGPT wrappers that churns out garbage.
I had the same reaction, I'll admit. But looking at the documentation, this isn't a chatbot. Chatbots are, assistants. They help you write one thing at a time. This is infrastructure. It's an API-first platform designed to decouple the idea from the production.
Explain that distinction, because I think that's the crux of this whole thing. What does decoupling ideation from production actually mean in practice?
Okay, think of it this way. Right now, content creation is like a craftsman process. If Pharonix wants to make a video, a human writes a script, then a human records it, then a human edits it. It's linear. One unit of effort equals one unit of output. The Auto Content API is more like an assembly line. You feed it raw material, a white paper, a URL, and it transforms that into 50 different assets in parallel.
So it's not replacing the creative spark. It's replacing the manual labor of formatting that spark for different channels.
Exactly. It moves content from a craftsman model to an industrial model.
Okay, so our mission today is to see if we can turn Pharonix, this steady, reliable software company, into a modern media powerhouse using this infrastructure. Let's start with that bottleneck. I spent some time on the Pharonix resource library.
And what did you find?
It is impressive, but man, it is dense. We're talking Deep Freeze, Cloud Connector, white papers, remote machine management, user guides. It's high-value stuff, but it asks a lot of the user.
A lot. You have to sit down, focus, and read a 10-page PDF. And in the current economy, asking for 10 minutes of focused reading time is like asking for a kidney.
It really is. I can barely finish a tweet.
People don't consume that way anymore. They listen to podcasts on the commute. They watch vertical videos while waiting for coffee. If your value is locked in text, it's basically invisible to 80% of your audience.
But the traditional answer to that is, okay, let's hire a video team. Let's start a podcast network. And then the CFO looks at the budget and laughs you out of the room.
Right. It's slow and it's expensive. And this is where the Auto Content API's concept of content transformation comes in. And I want to be really clear on the term here. It's not just generating fluff from a prompt. It's taking existing, verified truth like that Deep Freeze manual and just restructuring it.
So walk me through the workflow.
Now,
Let's say Pharonix has a technical paper on thaw space management. It's a complex topic, right?
right, very complex. Okay, so with Auto Content API, they'd use a feature called universal ingestion. They feed that PDF or the URL directly into the API. The system parses it, understands the structure, what's a header, what's a code snippet. Then it restructures it into a script. Then it sends that script to an audio engine, maybe a video engine.
And this happens how fast?
Minutes. It moves from a human process, which might take days, to a parallel server process that takes minutes.
That speed seems critical for a security company. If there's a zero-day vulnerability, they can't wait 2 weeks to get a video out.
No way! Speed is a feature. But let's talk about the output quality, specifically audio, because I know you're skeptical of robot voices.
I am. I mean, we've all heard those text-speech engines that sound like a GPS navigator having a stroke. Turn left at the server. Can't listen to that for 20 minutes.
Agreed. It's unlistenable. But we are seeing a seismic shift here. This is where we get into things like multi-speaker dynamics.
This is the part that really surprised me in the research. It's not just one voice reading the text.
No. It generates two AI hosts, a virtual host and a virtual expert. And they actually discuss the content. They banter. They interrupt each other slightly. They use filler words like, in natural places.
It simulates prosody. It simulates the messy reality of conversation.
Precisely. So imagine you're an IT admin in a hospital. You're running around fixing computers on wheels, those CIWs they have in the wards. You don't have time to read the release notes for Deep Freeze 8.5.
But I have a 30-minute drive home.
Exactly. So Pharonix automatically generates a Deep Freeze release radar podcast. You tune in and you hear two people saying, "Hey, did you see the new feature for Windows 10 restoration? Yeah, the thaw space handling is totally different. It turns a manual into a radio show."
I can absolutely see the utility there. It looks like that notebook LM experience, but automated. But the source material mentioned something else that felt a bit sci-fi. Voice cloning.
This is where it gets really powerful for the brand. Pharonix has leadership, right? A CEO, a head of product. These people have authority. Their voices carry weight.
But they don't have time to record a podcast every single morning.
Right. So you record them once, maybe 10 or 20 minutes of audio to train the model. Then the API can generate updates in their specific voice.
So the CEO could effectively deliver a state of the market update every Monday morning based on last week's data without ever stepping into a booth.
Yes. It allows leadership to scale their presence infinitely. Imagine getting a personalized update from the VP of product about a feature you specifically asked for. It adds a layer of trust that a generic AI voice just can't match.
It's personalizing the automation. Now, we've been talking about external marketing, but what about internally? Pharonix is a big company.
Oh, yeah, the private podcast network use case. Think about their sales team. They are selling complex tools like Pharonix Deploy. The features change every month.
And usually sales training is a binder or a 3-hour Zoom call that everyone just zones out of.
Exactly. Instead, you give them a private podcast feed, the Monday morning sales brief, 5 minutes audio only, covering the top 3 objections for a new product. They listen while driving to a client. It turns dead time into learning time.
That's a massive efficiency gain. But speaking of massive, we need to talk geography. Pharonix isn't just a North American company. 150 countries. That is a logistical nightmare.
It's the Tower of Babel problem, right? You have a great blog post in English, but what about your customers in Germany or Japan or Brazil?
I saw on their site they support English, Spanish, French, German, and simplified Chinese. But usually that just means the interface is translated, right?
Correct. Supporting rich media audio and video in all those languages is traditionally impossible without a Hollywood budget. You want a Spanish podcast? You have to hire Spanish voice actors, translators, editors.
It takes weeks. So how does the API change the math here?
The API supports over 50 languages, but it's the workflow that's amazing. Let's say Pharonix publishes that ThawSpace article in English.
Okay, step one.
The API ingests it. It creates the English podcast. Then automatically it transcribes, translates, and this is the key, resynthesizes that audio into Spanish, French, and Japanese.
When you say resynthesize, you don't just mean subtitles, do you?
No. We are talking about a native-sounding audio track. Some advanced models can even do lip-sync adjustments on the video version. It doesn't feel like a dub. It feels native.
That is wild. So they effectively multiply their total addressable market by, what, 5 or 6 times overnight?
Without hiring a single new localization specialist. The source material calls this a high-leverage technology investment. You create the asset once, the source of truth, and the machine multiplies its value across every geography.
It democratizes their own information. A user in Tokyo gets the same quality of training as a user in Vancouver.
Exactly. And that consistency is huge for a global brand.
Okay, let's pivot to the visual side.
Yeah.
Because for a software company, sometimes you just need to see it. You can't explain OS imaging just with audio.
Right. Visuals are critical for support. Phoronix lists support as a major pillar on their site.
But nobody wants to call support. If I have to pick up the phone, I'm already annoyed.
And for Phoronix, every phone call costs money. Every ticket costs money. So say a customer is struggling with OS imaging in Phoronix Deploy, they might send a ticket.
Which takes a human 20 minutes to answer.
Or the Auto Content API can generate explainer videos. Phoronix could set the API to crawl every single feature page of their documentation.
For every single feature?
For each one, it generates a 60-second video. It pulls screenshots from the docs, adds voiceover, adds subtitles, and creates a motion graphic-style video.
So when I go to the OS imaging page, instead of a wall of text, there's a video at the top.
Yes. And the data shows this increases dwell time, which is SEO gold. But more importantly, it solves the user's problem in 60 seconds. That user doesn't file a ticket.
It's a deflection strategy. Proactive support.
Exactly. It respects the user's time.
What about the social side? The faceless channel concept? I feel like B2B companies, especially software companies, are just terrible at TikTok and YouTube shorts.
They are. They're awkward. They don't want to dance. And they shouldn't. But the faceless channel strategy is perfect here. The API can generate vertical videos, that 9.16 aspect ratio for these platforms.
Using AI avatars.
Yes. You can pick a professional woman avatar, a casual tech avatar. Imagine a channel called Phoronix Tech Tips.
Tip, hashtag 45, securing point of sale computers.
Exactly. It's a 45-second video. It's informative, it's branded, and it's fully automated.
But is it worth it? I mean, are IT admins really watching TikToks?
You'd be surprised. But even if not TikTok, they are on YouTube Shorts. And LinkedIn has vertical video now. The point is, you are occupying shelf space where the attention is. If you aren't there, your competitor is.
And the cost. Because normally, producing even a short video is expensive.
That's the kicker. Manual production is easily $300, maybe $500. With the API, using their credit model, it's roughly 400 credits. That works out to about 4 euros.
4 euros versus $300.
That changes the risk profile completely. At $300, you have to be sure the video will work. At 4 euro, you can afford to fail. You can experiment. You can run 5 different channels and see what sticks.
You can throw spaghetti at the wall because the spaghetti is basically free.
Essentially, yes.
That leads us perfectly into the next topic, finding those audiences. Because you mentioned healthcare and retail, Phoronix targets some very specific niches. I saw point of sale computers, and those CADW's computers on wheels.
Super niche verticals. You're not going to get millions of views on a computers on wheels video.
No, viral fame is not the goal here.
But the people searching for that term, they are highly qualified buyers. The problem is generating content for those tiny niches is usually just too expensive in terms of human effort.
This is the deep research aspect of the API. Right.
Right.
How does that work?
So the API has a deep research endpoint. It uses autonomous agents to browse the live web. It's not just looking at a database from 2021.
So Phoronix could set up a task like, tell me what's new in malware.
Even more specific, scan for new ransomware threats targeting educational institutions in 2026. Every week, the API goes out, finds the latest threats, synthesizes the findings, and brings back a report.
And then,
because it's an automated pipeline, it turns that report into a blog post and a security briefing podcast episode.
So Phoronix effectively becomes a news source. The weekly malware update brought to you by Phoronix.
Exactly. Real-time thought leadership. They aren't just reacting to the market. They are defining the conversation.
That consistency is key. Now, I want to touch on programmatic SEO. I've heard this term thrown around, and usually it implies spam.
That's the old way. IT management for schools in Seattle, IT management for schools in Austin, and the page content is identical except for the city name.
And Google hates that. They call it thin content.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
But this is how auto content fixes that, by generating unique media for every single page.
Explain that.
For the Austin page, the API generates a unique city guide style audio intro. It generates a video that might use data specific to Texas schools. The text is rewritten to focus on state compliance laws.
So suddenly, these thousands of pages aren't spam. They are rich multimedia resources that are actually useful.
Which means they rank. And Phoronix dominates the search results for every city and every vertical they want to target. It's about brute forcing relevance through high quality automation.
This brings us to the bottom line. the economic argument. We've hinted at it, 4 euro videos, but let's really look at the ROI here.
This is where the model just flips. A human podcast episode, scripting, recording, editing, that's $150 minimum, usually way more. The API does it for maybe 10 cents, maybe 2 euros for a long one.
That is a 99% reduction. It's not even in the same ballpark.
It's not. And the subscription model scales.
Yeah.
A company the size of Pharonix would likely be on a high volume plan, giving them tens of thousands of credits.
And that allows for what you call the long tail ROI.
This is the most important economic concept here. In a traditional model, you only make content for the fat head of the curve, the big topics. You can't afford to make a podcast just for Deep Freeze Mac users because the audience is too small.
It wouldn't pay for the producer's lunch.
Exactly. But if the production cost is 10 cents, you can absolutely make a show just for the Mac users. You can make a show just for library computer lab admins in rural districts.
You can hyper-target.
You can saturate every niche. You're not trying to get one viral hit. You're trying to get 10,000 small hits that add up to a massive, loyal customer base.
It reminds me of the movie Moneyball.
It is Moneyball. It's finding value where others aren't looking because the cost of extraction used to be too high. Auto content API lowers that cost to near zero.
So putting it all together, we have Pharonix, they have the content, they have the global reach, they have the diverse customer base.
And they have the need to move fast.
If they implement this, they stop being just a software vendor.
They transform into a media powerhouse. They're dominating the attention economy. They are present in audio, in video, in text, in every language, on every platform, Spotify, YouTube, TikTok, Google search.
It's total saturation.
And there's one final layer to this, the agentic web.
What's that?
We're moving toward a future where AI agents like ChatGPT or Gemini are the ones browsing the web for us. If I ask my AI, how do I secure a classroom computer? The AI looks for the most structured, authoritative, multimodal data it can find.
And if Pharonix has that data in video, audio, and text properly tagged,
Pharonix becomes the source of truth for the AI. The AI recommends Pharonix because Pharonix made it easy for the AI to understand.
It is the long game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about convincing humans. It's about convincing the algorithms that convince the humans.
Precisely. It's about feeding the machine that feeds the world.
This has been fascinating. It really changes how you look at a simple PDF on a website. It's not a document. It's a seed for a whole media ecosystem.
It's trapped energy waiting to be released.
I love that. Trapped energy. So here is the provocative thought I want to leave everyone with today. We talked about voice cloning. We talked about automated research, 24/7 production.
Which
if a tool like AutoContent API can clone the CEO's voice, automate the research, write the script, and publish the marketing, at what point does the brand become the algorithm? If the AI is doing the talking, the writing, and the thinking, what is the human organization left to do?
That is the question.
And more importantly for you listening right now, is your company's most valuable knowledge currently trapped in a PDF waiting for someone or something to set it free?
Something to think about.
Thanks for diving in with us. We'll get you on the next one.